Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. It is Tuesday, and it is October 27th, 2020. We are just a few days away from the election year of 2020, and as I wrote, it is always like a horse race, isn't it? I mean, here we come. We have both sides, the commentators and the announcers, and they're announcing they're coming around the track, and we're getting down to the finish line, and the closer we get to the finish line, they're neck and neck, and who's going to win? And you build up this energetic atmosphere, and boy, it seems like this is the race that you would consider to be like Secretariat, when Secretariat won the Triple Crown, and in the last race, I mean, she was 34 lengths ahead. Do you remember that? You remember that story, Secretariat? Secretariat pulled out, and she was like 34 lengths ahead. And the funniest part of that movie, Secretariat, is when the trainer, the guy that was managing the horse, he's shouting from the stands because he had such a lousy past, right? He's just never won anything. He was a great trainer, but just nothing ever worked for him. Now the horse is 34 lengths ahead. I mean, it's impossible that he loses. But what does he do? He shouts out, "Don't fall, Ronnie!" And so Ronnie was the rider of the horse, and anything that could go wrong could go wrong. So in this election right now, I feel like it's a Secretariat race, and there's no possible way that Joe Biden could win the election. I think we would all agree to that, right? I mean, if you're in the stands, you're watching the race, you're watching what's going on, you're watching Joe stumble, you're watching the crisis show up in his face, you're watching all these terrible things going on around his life, and then you're seeing Donald Trump recover from this, recover from that, stronger now than before, and he's just knocking it out of the park. I mean, 34 lengths ahead, right, in horse race talk. Don't fall off. So what would that mean today? That would mean that in order for Joe Biden to win the election right now, something drastic would have to happen. Donald Trump would have to fall off the horse, literally. Donald Trump would have to fall off because there's nobody. I mean, even with the propaganda, the mesmerization that goes on in the news media, the opioid, the deception, the tricks, the smoke, the mirrors, all of that, still, it is impossible. When Secretariat is 34 lengths ahead, coming around to the finish line, to lose, right? But the concern was there. don't fall off. So I wonder what that actually means. Now, a lot of people are saying, and I'm just going to get this out of the way first, got more important things to talk about, biblical things, scriptural things. But a lot of people are saying, you know what? It really doesn't matter at this moment who wins the election, because now Amy Coney Barrett is the third Supreme Court justice sitting on the bench. And that means even if President Trump loses, still the highest court in the land can reverse decisions like Roe versus Wade, the Obamacare Act, and all these different, the Affordable Care Act, all these different things could change. So really, it doesn't matter. The problem with that idea is that if Joe Biden were ever to win the election, if Donald were to fall off the horse, whatever that means that he could stack the courts, or that they would have more people go in and they would consider doing such a thing to get more justices to keep things the way they are. So it is rather important for the country to that degree. The other thing is, you know, what does it possibly mean? I think it's a wonderful, absolutely on a normal, horizontal, fair playing field. It is an absolutely amazing thing that a third Supreme Court justice was placed by Donald Trump. And here, I have to go back 4 years ago, and I have never met this man. I've never spoken to this man. I haven't listened to this man. But I remember years ago, the fireman, Mark Taylor, he had said that there would come a time that the president would literally nominate into the Supreme Court this many justices. He even went as far to say five in his second term. So you have to give honor to whom honor is due. And that was an amazing thing. I don't think anybody or very few are actually thinking that the Supreme Court would have as many nominees. Now, the couple of the guys like Neil Gorsuch, they kind of messed up on a few times when things could have changed, but maybe only God knows. But you have to admit, in a political sense, in this country at this time with all the turmoil, it's a pretty phenomenal victory to have three Supreme Court justices nominated by the President of the United States. And so that's a great thing. So what could possibly happen? What could possibly happen? Well, time is going to tell. A week from today is November 3rd. A week from today, we're all going to know. But you could sense in the atmosphere something very strange, the neck and neck, who's winning in the polls. And it's always that way in the election year. It's something to build up the nation, to get it thinking and get it energized. And here it is. And you ever been to a horse race and you're betting on your horse and they come down to the finish line and everybody's standing on their feet, right? I mean, it's a moment. And I think the nation is really there. And I think a lot of people will be standing on their feet November 3rd and waiting to see who wins the race. But there's a lot of conversation about who's going to win the race. Again, Secretariat, 34 lengths ahead. I liken that to Donald J. Trump. He's 34 lengths ahead. There's no way he could lose this thing. No way possible. But you never know. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. So we will see. I'm hearing today that there is some prophecy that's being fulfilled that was spoken by Pastor Dana Coverstone. And I haven't looked at that, but someone sent that there was something he had said about the month of October has happened. Maybe we'll get into that in just a little bit if I could bring the video up and see what was being said. The big thing was the fist on the calendar, November 3rd, concerning his dreams. What is that fist? If October, the tapping of October, was the victory of Amy Coney Barrett, I wonder, or people could wonder, that if the fist would hit the calendar, if that would be the knockout punch to the Democratic Party. You just wonder, what was that dream all about? But that's not consistent with what he was saying. But this is what I mean about the spiritual atmosphere. It's very difficult right now to affirm anything. Now, the only thing that I'm running on is, what if for whatever reason, I have no idea what the reason was. All I know is that about a year ago, that I had three consecutive dreams, and the first dream was on a Friday about a mall shooting. There were two of them in the dream, one in the morning, one in the evening of the dream. And then the very next day, Saturday, in real life, there was a mall shooting in El Paso, Texas, that evening in Ohio. And so God showed a dream about something happened within 24 hours. And then in the same time frame, this dream about Joe Biden winning the election. Now, this is a year ago when everybody else was running. So I don't understand why. I don't understand the meaning. All I know is that there was a dream that Joe Biden was walking down in the tunnel. He had won the election, and the look on his face was troubled. That's all I remember. And I don't know why. But I, in the dream, saw he won the election. Now, does that mean that he won the election, but then it was reversed? You know, like one of these controversial elections? I don't know. Or did something happen so dramatic, so drastic, that enabled him to win the election? I don't know. Was there a major price that Joe had to pay to win the election, to get him where they want him to be? I don't know. Because nothing indicates anywhere that President Donald J. Trump could possibly lose the election right now. It's impossible. Except nothing is impossible in the realm of God's direction and in the realm of the evil one. Because you just never know. And so, again, I think this week is going to be an interesting week. However, there is congratulations on Amy Barrett. Who knows Amy Barrett? Nobody. The nation just met her. Time will tell where everything stands, maybe. Because you just don't know unless God reveals a thing. Now, we have been talking for several months. We're going back at least 6-7 months now, all the way back to February and March, that God showed some things to a few men of God about a cycle of judgments that was coming to the shores of America. The first part of that cycle has been absolutely perfectly fulfilled. The last part of that cycle will be the third and fourth wave that would hit the nation and the earth. And that third wave is the sword of war. And so we believe that just as God fulfilled the first two cycles within this cycle of judgment, he is going to fulfill the others. What does that mean? Well, does it mean a nuclear detonation in Washington, D.C.? Because that's the only thing. If Amy Comey Barrett wins and Donald J. Trump wins and the Senate, we take the House, and which we already do, but the Congress, what happens? Well, now have you noticed, I just was told to watch a video called Social Dilemma, but the only place it was playing was on Netflix. We don't watch Netflix. We don't do it, but we have it because we have one of those smart TVs. We've had it for years. So we went and I turned on Netflix to watch Social Dilemma. Everybody should watch Social Dilemma. But I noticed that while I was getting to Social Dilemma, Designated Survivor was back on the air. You remember a few years ago that, what was his name? He played in 24, whatever his name is, Sutherland, Kiefer Sutherland. So Designated Survivor was all about him watching something, and all of a sudden a nuclear bomb goes off in Washington, D.C. and takes out the cabinet. Well, that happened years ago, way before 2016. It was supposed to lead up to that moment, I think. Well, they're putting it on again. And I thought that's very interesting because I believe that if the House were to become Republican, the Senate's Republican, the President's Republican, the Supreme Court is Republican, conservative, well, maybe the enemy wouldn't like that very much. Only God knows. And so now why were we watching Social Dilemma? I want to just shift for a moment, okay? Because Patricia and I just celebrated our 28th wedding anniversary. Our fellowship, New Wine Ministries, sent us away with the most beautiful basket gifts. We went away and we went to a very simple, quiet place surrounded by the Ozarks, right on the lake, in the RV, and we stayed there and we got things ready because we were so unprepared. We couldn't believe how unprepared we were in the RV. So getting ready for our maiden voyage to get out on the road, well, we were able to spend 4 days. Well, during our anniversary, we went out on the lake because it was 82 degrees, and Patricia and I had an amazing time just tootling on the lake, a very simple, blessed gift. When we stepped off the boat, I dropped my iPhone, and it slipped between the boat and the dock, and it went down, and I said, uh-oh, and the phone went in. And the people informed me it was about 40 feet deep right there, and that phone, it butterflies on the way down, And when you get down there, it's very murky, and the pressure would have destroyed the phone. So there was no rescue attempt on the phone. So I went for a number of days without the phone and absolutely loved it. I absolutely loved being without the phone. I mean, there were a few things that, you know, I needed to do, but it just didn't matter. I felt like I had 3 days of vacation from this phone, and I noticed I got a lot more done. So when somebody told me to watch Social Dilemma and on Netflix, and everybody should, it was all about what these phones are doing to us. And at the very end of it, you can't, I'm not going to tell you, but a message is there that's very profound. Now, unfortunately, but fortunately, they sent me immediately my phone. Now, if I had broken a dish, it would take me 6 months to get my replacement dish. They had it here in 24 hours, but it was the weekend, so I had those days off with it and just picked it up yesterday and getting it functional again. And notice how much time I'm putting into the phone again to just get it activated. But why do I say all of that? I don't know all the little signs along the way and what's happening all around us, but we are going to view it from a biblical lens. We are always going to view what's going on in the world the best we know how by the leading of the Holy Spirit through the biblical lens. Now, I want to pause and I want to say something more important than anything I've just said, okay? Because that's just stuff we're talking about. I want to say this morning, and Patricia Joy Xavier, if you're listening to me, I need you to join me right now. Patricia Joy Xavier, all hands on deck. All hands on deck. I want to welcome everybody this morning while I'm waiting for Patricia. So there's something very important to say to you, and I need Patricia's to be here with me. So while I'm waiting, I want to say good morning to Kevin Hauger, and I want to say good morning to Laquita. And I want to say good morning to Callie and Kim, and I want to say good morning to Carol. All right, so there's our chat room right now. God bless you guys. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening in. And we've been away last week. We tried to do some. Patricia, if you could hear me, I need your attention. Praise God, she'll be on her way. But last week, we tried to do the Facebook. We tried to do YouTube. Impossible. We tried to do it on Blog Talk Radio. Virtually impossible. And, of course, Omega Radio, we could not connect with. So even though we had the tools, the laptop and everything, the location, because of where we were in the Ozarks, we could not get the message out. So I want to say good morning to Adam Lindquist. Good morning, Adam. God bless you, sir. Good morning, Melissa Fletcher. Good morning to you. God bless you as well. I'm waiting for Patricia Joy, and I'm pretty sure we're blogging on Blog Talk Radio. Patricia Joy, are you there? I can't find my wife. It's a terrible thing when a man can't find his wife. Maybe she's on the... All right, so I'm not getting through to Patricia. So I'm going to just hesitate for a moment, all the things that we just talked about, and I think I hear footsteps. This week, 7 days, the race begins. I want to say the River Christian Center, good morning from Pastor Jeff. Hey, Pastor Jeff Bass, how are you, sir? I would love to hear what God is putting in your heart at this time from Virginia. God bless you, Pastor Jeff. To all our friends out there, I'm waiting. I don't know. Maybe Patricia was raptured. I don't know. By the way, maybe this would be a good time to insert this. Maybe not. I wanted to talk about Patricia. Wow. I don't know where she is. I could call her on my new phone. So I dropped my phone in the lake and they got the new phone back. Kathy Brun says, good morning. Everything's hitting the fan. Hey, yes. Yes. And we need to observe that. We need to call that what it is, actually. You know, I got a letter. I'll wait for Patricia and I'll share a little letter with you. For those of you who don't know, we started on FM radio again out of Neosho, Missouri. And we've only been on, I think, for 3 weeks. And Mark Taylor, the owner of the radio station, I think, 90.1 or what is that dial there? I want to tell you how you can get this, by the way. If you're interested and you want to get to this KNEO, it's 91.7 FM, and it's KNEO, KNEO. So you could put that app. You could find their KNEO app, and you could listen in. We're on Saturday mornings from 11 till 12, Saturday morning, 11 to 12 Central Standard Time. And this gentleman who was in the Marine Corps sent me a letter, and he said this. He said, "Dear Vincent, I was so glad to hear you on KNEO Neo Show. I used to hear you on KERM 790 AM. I agree with you so much. I also believe Southwest Missouri is the safest place to be with the coming crises. I'll share more with you later. I was a Marine from 1962 to 1966, then National Guard from 1984 to 2000. I stay prepared. Semper Fi." His first name is Jerry. And Jerry sent me a lot of information, George Washington's vision, which I thought was pretty cool. I mean, this little guy right here, you can see that. General Washington's vision. And that was about the angels, I think everybody remembers. He sent me this really cool little map of stories that happened in Vietnam. Okay, so these were events that happened during the war. Was that the war? The true Vietnam stories. And I just thought, well, we'll be meeting him very soon. But he sent me this little paper here. And I thought, well, this is interesting. And what is that? That is something he wanted us to know that we needed to be preparing. And I'll go ahead and share this. Let me shout to Patricia one more time. Patricia! There she is. There she is. See? Are you ready? Okay. I don't know if they're going to be able to hear you or not, but all right. So what we're doing, I'm going to take a break. This is the pause on pause now. One of the most important things we've said all morning, and I do apologize for the delay, but today, our dear friend, our dear sister in the Lord, one of our very best and closest friends, Carmen, it is her birthday today. And Patricia and I want to say to you, Carmen, happy birthday. Not only do we wish you a year of God's greatest success and blessing, but a year of liberation and freedom that you have never known in your life. You are a servant of the Lord. You are blessed. God has blessed you in so many ways. He did not forsake you. He had never forgotten you. And he added to your life some of the greatest things. He gave you your son back. He gave you your husband. He gave you us. That came from Patricia. And Carmen, we just want to say happy birthday. And we're going to sing happy birthday to you. Yeah. So if everybody out there wants to sing, if you've ever met Carmen, you know that she's deserving of what we're doing right now. So are you ready to hit it, Patricia Joy?
Ready to go.
One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Carmen. Happy birthday to you. You ready? You are so special to your father. He knows your name and address, and he's ordered the best for you. You are so special. Pick it up, Patty. To your father. And from the very start, you have a place in his heart that only you could fill. Woo! Happy birthday, Carmen, all over the world, from the Philippines to the Middle East and Africa, Asia and Europe. Happy birthday, Mexico. Arriba, arriba. There you go. Now I know you're smiling. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. And so listen, Carmen, right now, Patricia, check this out. Gayla Lawrence says, happy birthday, Carmen.
Yes.
Carmen, Dean Smith, happy birthday, Carmen.
Yes.
Laquita singing happy birthday. Marissa, happy birthday to Carmen. Kim Boiling, yay! Happy birthday, she says. And Laquita again is saying happy birthday, Carmen. And let's see, good morning. Okay, happy birthdays everywhere. Patricia says, well-deserved servant of the Lord, deaconess in the body of Christ, keeping your cool when things get hot. Woof! Come on, Jesus. So God bless you. And again, we're going to be celebrating you because we go to the same fellowship together. And Patricia and I are going to be taking you and your family out for a birthday dinner. We're going to get that time all lined up.
Yes.
And we're just going to honor you and take you to your favorite place. By the way, I found a place, Hector and I found a place in Springdale that made homemade from Mexico.
She doesn't like them.
She doesn't like tamales?
I don't think.
Come on, what kind of a Mexican woman wouldn't like tamales?
She's more Spanish than she is the other.
Mamma mia. Okay, we'll take you for Italian. I don't know where we're going to take you, but we're going to wherever you want to go. I could just hear her husband Mike saying, how about barbecue?
For sure.
I don't know. The crib rib or the rib crib, whatever it is. All right. So, you know, what I love, Jesse is saying, happy birthday, Sister Carmen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Kim Boiling sending kisses. Happy birthdays from Callie Reynolds. So happy birthday, Carmen, to you on this 27th day of October, 2020. It's going to be a great day, a great week, because you know we celebrate birthdays for weeks around here, and then a year ahead of God's divine grace and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, may the Lord bless you. Amen. Anything else, darling?
That is all until we see
her. Okay. All right. Well, very good. Until we see you, Carmen. So that was our little break. If you've been with us from the beginning of this broadcast, we've been talking about a number of different things, and that was one of the or that was the primary top of the list thing from our hearts to our sister Carmen. Happy birthday. God bless you. Now, shifting, I want to read, Carmen, you might find this a little strange, going, oh, mamma mia, here we go again. But this Marine by the name of Jerry that lives just north of us, we're in northwest Arkansas, he's in southwest Missouri, and he heard me on radio on Saturday morning, had listened to us on KERM radio, and he sent a little blessing to help pay the radio station, which was great for the FM radio station. Thank you, Jerry. If you happen to be listening right now, God bless you. Okay, and Lydia also says, happy birthday to you, Carmen. And I'm going to just let you know all the folks that are saying it. So Lydia is sending her birthday blessing. Your son, Sean, is saying, happy birthday, Mom. Happy birthday, Mom. God bless you, Sean. God bless you. What a story. I can't wait to see that story in its final chapter. Hallelujah. Or the next chapter, the chapter of the victory chapter. All right. So Jerry sent this. He said, the following list of storage items is given merely as a reminder. It is expected that you will develop your own storage list of foods and other items which will suit the requirements of your own family and home. So what Jerry is telling us is that he was in Vietnam, he's been to war, he's been around and about from the beginning, he's been involved in different skirmishes and different things. As a United States veteran, he's seen things in our country that are not going well and has a firm, unwavering belief that our country is going to be in greater turmoil as time gets closer to the end. A lot of prophecy teachers say, where is America in the Bible? And a lot of people are saying, well, it doesn't exist. It's been wiped out off the face of the earth. That's Daniel Seckham's reality, and that's connected to I don't know how many other people believe that the U.S. will be taken out. Others say that it's Babylon. You know, there's a lot of controversy as to where America, who America is. But again, we will look through the biblical lens. We'll get a description, and we'll see clearly. I'm convinced about that. Melissa Fletcher, once again, is saying birthday blessings from South Dakota. Thank you, Melissa. Carmen, all the way from South Dakota, Melissa is saying happy birthday to you. Praise the Lord. All right, so here's a product of rotation. Now, you don't need me to say this, and I get that. I'm doing this to honor the gentleman that sent it, because you could go online, you could talk, you could go through a list, but sometimes it's really good to have that list And there may be something in this list that the other lists don't have. And this is all about products for rotation. These are things that you want to put in rotation. They won't last 25 years, okay? He starts out with peanut butter. Now, this is coming from somebody that's been in war, okay, that's been out in the field, so to speak, and has been around skirmishes since 1962. So peanut butter, vacuum-packed, okay, these are all vacuum-packed, dry macaroni. So vacuum-packed dry macaroni, dry spaghetti, dry noodles. Okay, so get those vacuum-packed. And then milk, canned and powdered non-fat. So you can get canned and powdered non-fat milk. Lids for fruit jars. Now, here's something I don't see on a list every day. Jerry says, make sure to get pectin. Pectin, P-E-C-T-I-N. Vinegar, always good to have vinegar. Molasses, jelly, and preserves. Jello and jello puddings. Desserts, cornstarch, syrup, shortening, vegetable oils. I'm running down the list. Canned or bottled. Peas, okay, corn, string beans, chili, stew, pork and beans, tomatoes, tomato sauce, yams, tomato juice, cranberries, peaches, pears, crushed pineapple, pineapple halves. This is all canned or bottled. Applesauce, fruit cocktail, pineapple juice, tamales, tuna fish, salmon, chicken, seafoods, corned beef, roast, beef roast, chipped beef, deviled meats, pork, veal, soups, vegetable juices, fruit juices, vegetable seeds for your garden. Now, here's what I would do with that list. I would take this list, and if anybody wants it, I could text it to you, email it to you, whatever. And I would go buy that right now and rotate out everything else you have. You might spend, I don't know how much, but he'll get into the pricing of it. I would say less than $100 to get cans of this stuff that we just talked about and the things he just said. It's not expensive stuff. And so I would do that right now. I would get off the program today and go shopping and make sure that you have these things, because it's a list with wisdom. Have these things to rotate because they'll last at least 2 years. So that would be a really good start if things go south next week, like some people believe will happen. Okay. Dehydrated foods. Here's another part of the list. Oh, man. Hermetically packed fruits and vegetables, stew mix, salad blends, citrus juices. These are dehydrated, okay? Eggs, yeast, gelatin, bouillon cubes, permapack products. Make sure you get those. And then he talks about permanent foods. You want to have these as permanent foods. Whole grains. Hard wheat. This is where you could put in the Mylar bags and store them, right, in the buckets. Sugar, granulated and powdered. Baking powder. Salt. Lots of salt. Iodized, actually, he puts. Soda. Honey. Rice. Dried corn and split peas and dried beans. All right, those are permanent food items you should have in big buckets. And again, that could be done relatively cheap. Household supplies. You want fruit jars and caps, hand soap, laundry soap, Clorox, lots of Clorox, starch, cleaners, waxes, matches, toilet paper. We knew about toilet paper, didn't we? Found out about that one. Paper napkins and tissues, foil, toothbrushes, toothpicks, shoe polish, clothespins, brooms, wax paper, candles and holders, needles, pins, thread, light globes, shoelaces, string, rope, light fuses, safety razor, blades, combs, hair cutting set, shampoo, talcum powder, toiletries, clothing, and extra bedding. You know, we take these things for granted and we say, everybody in the house has all this stuff, right? But do you have it ready to go? Is it rotated in? Is it fresh? Do you have it for a while? Do you have enough to last for a period of time? Remember what we've always said? We've always believed that we should be preparing for a 5-year camping trip in the wilderness. Now, we hope that it's going to be 3.5 years, but if we enter into the Great Tribulation, we're told in Revelation it's 3.5 years in the wilderness, particularly. It says in the wilderness, 3.5 years. So to prepare for a 5-year camping trip. Now, I don't know if you've ever been camping or the last time you've been camping. Camping is different than living in our luxury homes. And what I mean is a 2-bedroom apartment is a luxury home compared to a tent in the wilderness with the camping utensils, the camping stoves, the camping propane, and all that stuff. You have to prepare for a 5-year journey in the wilderness, a camping trip. Okay. And so these things are essential. You may have enough for the month, but what happens after the month? So the idea is to make sure that you rotate it and get these products now. At least you'll have 2 years. If you double up on them, well, if you can, if they last longer, you'll have a little bit more. An extra year and a half on some of these products will last. Believe me. Sometimes they put dates on things, sometimes, not always, just so they could sell more product. And sometimes things work for 3 years, 3.5, 4 years, 5 years that were only supposed to last for 2 years. Time will tell. But it's good to have them now fresh so that you can move forward. Now, he said, here are some helpful hints. No family with ordinary means can fill such a storeroom in 1 year. So this was all for a storeroom. This is stuff in stock, not the stuff you already have. So this is stuff in stock. Okay. So he says a lot of people can't do it in 1 year. It is a process of several years of saving and planning and the continual process for keeping your stock moving and always replacing new stock for that which you have used. Now, if, like we heard one of our callers say, everything hits the fan here any second now, what we have is what we have, and what we've prepared is what we've prepared, and yet none of us could be without excuse and say, well, I didn't know, because we've been hearing about preparing for many, many years, and hopefully you took the time to prepare. Hopefully everybody that's listening right now has taken time to prepare, because the time will come that every man and every woman is going to have to pull their own weight, and that's going to be an important conversation we're going to have very soon. In fact, we'll be having that conversation very soon in our congregation. So Jerry also said cases of grapefruit and oranges stored in bins will keep 30 or 40 days. So that's good to have some vitamins. And by the way, vitamins, vitamins, vitamins. Get the best vitamins you can get in your storeroom, in your go-to pack, wherever you're going to go, wherever you prepared, wherever the Lord has led you to be. Make sure you've done due diligence to make sure that you have your stock room, okay? And these products added to what you've already done. Very important. Don't think for a moment those years of preparation are going to be wasted or were futile or vain. That's not going to happen. To me, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who wins in a week. It doesn't matter who's on the Supreme Court. None of that matters to me when I look through the biblical lens and listen to what God has been saying to our nation. In 60 years of rebellion, it's a time of accountability, and there is no winking of the eye right now. And what appears to be a great success is not necessarily to mean that all is well. Let's go back to the roaring 20s. Everything is well. I don't think so. 1920s were known as the roaring 20s. I think there's going to be a roar, but I don't think it's going to be the kind of roar that the 20s found, partying and doing all the things that they were doing. I think we're in a different time. We're 100 years down the road. We're 60 years into committing crimes against God, and we are now being held accountable. Things have been shut down. We've been arrested as a nation, if you will, and I believe that the time of judgment is here. A sentence is being passed, and we're going to find out real soon what that is. Right now, everything appears to be okay, except for the riots, the hurricanes, the loss of businesses, the division in our nation, the horrible crimes that are being committed even today. So he went on to say, finally, dry wheat stored in small tin containers, not over 2 bushels, has kept for 5 years. Rice and beans are in good condition after 5 years. Hand soap is in excellent condition after 5 years. So that was just an added note from our military Marine friend, Jerry, just north of us here, who gave this list. And I was so thankful that he did. And I will be contacting him and spending time with him. And what is it again? It's a reminder to get ready. It's a reminder to prepare. It's better to be prepared and nothing happen than to not prepare, hoping nothing happens, and something happens where you need it. Now, we just went through a 6-month crisis, even though it wasn't that long for some of us, but we just saw what it was like not having certain things and a nation shutting down. We just saw what that's like. And now the nation is bracing for a new uptick of COVID-19. That's the story. 22,000 cases in one day. Deaths every day is rising. I think sometimes this is the only play that the left can make. This is what the President Biden is running on. Trump did a lousy job in COVID-19. And I think these people are sick enough, mentally sick, emotionally sick, spiritually sick. And I'm not saying that meanly. I mean, they are sick that they would actually put a virus into the atmosphere if Donald J. Trump were to win the election, just to cause the nation to go into more turmoil, because that's how sick they are. And I do believe the potential for a nuclear bomb going off in Washington, D.C. is always real. Always. I'm never going to stop saying that, because I believe that God has revealed a time will come when that will happen. So we'll see where things go, but don't think for a moment that this is not the time to prepare. And I believe there are people all over our nation that are preparing. They are preparing. And there's no reason why you and I shouldn't prepare. You can get into any store, a Walmart, a Sam's Club, a Costco. You could go anywhere and you could get some of these items. And you could have if you're in a 2-bedroom apartment, set some room aside in somewhere and get that stock room, a storage room for your stuff, whatever that is. If you're going to ride this out alone in an apartment complex, you have to be prepared for the water to go off. Right now in California, over, I think, was 1 million people had their power shut down over the weekend for today because the fires and evacuations were breaking out in Irvine, California. We have another hurricane that's hitting Cancun area and is now sweeping north going towards the New Orleans. This is Zeta. How many hurricanes this year have hit the country? And this is just our country. We're not even viewing other things outside of ourselves. So we have this good and evil thing going on all around us. Good and evil, good and evil. Good things happening here. Bad things happening here. Wicked things happening everywhere. I mean, it's just crazy. It's just absolutely insane. But the worst part of this is, the worst part that I don't think we're paying attention to, okay? Remove right now election. Remove Supreme Court. Remove everything. Just get it all out of the mind. Hurricanes, get it all out of the mind. Wildfires, just remove every clear your mind for a moment. This thing. That's my wife, by the way. That's Patricia Joy. This thing is called a phone. And this phone right here, if you watch Social Dilemma on Netflix and you listen to the technicians that were with Google, Twitter, Facebook, all of them, Instagram, take the time to watch social dilemma. Because if you have this, they got you. That's the digital net. That's the algorithm. That's the mind control. That's the addiction. These phones have connected us. And I have to believe that they have served for good. And you'll hear the technicians say, ultimately, this was all designed to be good and helpful. But something happened. It took over itself, and we can't stop it. And they tell you a story that's very real, that's happening, maybe happening to you or your children. They've become addicted, and they're being taken over and caught in the snare of the digital social dilemma. Artificial intelligence, a digital world, a mark of the beast. Knowing every move you make, knowing what you think, even putting thoughts in your mind that were never your own when you're connected to this thing. One of the great gifts was dropping my phone into that lake. It was a gift. And I believe the time will come for God's people that, like in the book of Acts, when they all took their witchcraft books and they had a great big bonfire, that some congregations are going to have a phone burning ceremony. Take baseball bats, tractors, and we're going to crush them and bury them in the depth of the sea. Throw them in the lakes. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. There will be a time. It will be wisdom to do that. They track your location. They know how many people are around each other. They listen. They watch. They inspire. Folks, just watch Social Dilemma on Netflix if you can. Take the time to do it. I was told this by a friend. We did it, and we're blown away. And they just told us to do it the day after I lost my phone. And I thought, what a gift from God. The time of being off the computer, the time of walking away, entering in, shutting the door, and being prepared to live for a long period of time is where we need to be thinking. Not running around like chickens with no heads because we didn't prepare. Not looking to the arm of flesh to save us, not looking to governments or men to help us, to provide for us. God has been willing to help and provide for each one of us if we have been good stewards, if we have been obedient to the word of God, if we looked at the word and we developed a belief that things are not always going to be the way they are, nice, easy times. If we allowed the word of God from the scriptures to get into our hearts, to listen to what Jesus taught, the prophets taught, the apostles taught about the last days, about the end times, remembering history, because if you forget your history, you're bound to do it again, to repeat it. And the Bible has a history that even in 2 Peter, in the book of Jude, these New Testament letters, the apostle Peter, the apostle Jude, tell the people, remember what they did in Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, what happened to them for doing what they did is going to happen to everybody that does what they do. Remember the days of Noah, they said, what the conduct of the people was like in the days of Noah? Well, the same reward they got for doing what they did is going to happen to any future generation. Jesus said it'll be like the days of Noah. And you cannot look into this world right now and you see sex trafficking for little boys and little girls. You cannot. The reason why we didn't have Netflix, and we didn't even have it before then, but we saw what they were putting on, this thing called Cuties, what they're doing to little children. Jeffrey Epstein, Pedophile Island, the filthy, wicked conduct of the wicked, the Sodomites, the Gomorrah, the Supreme Court passing into law, marriage of men and men and women. We can never dismiss that and say that that's okay. What broke my heart last night, listen to me, please. Find Tucker Carlson from last night, somewhere, find out when he was interviewing, or he had his host, guest host, Tammy Bruce. Tammy Bruce is a commentator on Fox News. She's there all the time. And I was on the phone with a company trying to get my phone going, and I turned on Fox News. I couldn't believe what I heard, folks. You got to hear it. I recorded it. I have it recorded because I'm gonna take a picture of it. Now I've got my phone video, and I'm going to play it for you. But here's what happened. Fox News, Tucker Carlson. I like Tucker Carlson. He's got Tammy Bruce on. Tammy Bruce is talking about some law, some thing that's going on, and all of a sudden she says, oh, FYI, newsflash, I'm a gay woman. And she comes out, and she says that she's a lesbian, gay woman. Tucker Carlson follows up with, smiling, and you have every right to be attracted to who you want to be attracted to. Now, a lot of people say, well, yeah, that's exactly how you're supposed to think about things. Now you're not a bigot, Tucker Carlson. Now you're not standing up, shouting out, you're not a bigot anymore. You've become tolerant. You've learned how to accept and love. You're not a hater anymore, Tucker, because you had a woman that's a commentator on your show by the name of Tammy Bruce come out and say last night, I'm a lesbian. For all you people, but I'm a Republican lesbian. And then Tucker smiled and embraced and said, you have every right, and anybody that tells you differently is wrong. Find it. Now, why is that harsh? Because it was the most disappointing thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it was one of the most disappointing things I've ever heard. Tucker Carlson, Fox News, embracing the lesbian, saying, you have every right to be attracted to whoever you want to. And if anybody tells you differently, get out of here. Listen to what happened in Tucker Carlson's program yesterday. Do I care that Tammy Bruce is a lesbian? Nope, don't care one bit. Do I care that Tucker Carlson promotes that lifestyle? Personally, yes, because I thought he had a higher standard. What bothers me is that people that are bothered by that are called bigots, haters, intolerant. You're supposed to shut up. You're supposed to sit down. You're not supposed to be upset. If you're upset, then you're just a bigoted, judgmental, critical, finger-pointing hater, period. But that's not the truth. The Bible says that we are light, and that the light that we possess is to expose the darkness. We are to tell people, no, being attracted to the same sex partner is not normal. It is abnormal. It is abnormal. And from God's perspective, it is an abomination. And the problem is when people like Tucker Carlson say, you have every right to do it, they promote it. And they make people think it's okay because we're listening to Tucker Carlson. It must be okay to be attracted to another person and get married to the same sex. But they always discard what follows. Their death is their eternal damnation. It's like we don't care about your eternal soul. We just care right now about you thinking we're good, nice people because we tolerate what you do. Well, that's ridiculous. If you're a Christian, even though they may claim to be Catholics, they believe in the Bible. My God, don't act like a conservative. Don't act like a person that has moral values and then publicly embrace the lesbian who's been on your program forever but finally came out of the closet to let everybody know. That's wrong. That's wrong. I will never watch the man again. I will not do that. Now I know where he's at in his heart. It finally has been exposed. It's surprising. I'd have thought that came from Don Lemon or one of the other folks on CNN or some other news media. But now you're looking, going, man, you don't know who anybody is anymore. This guy all these years stood to be a warrior for morality is now embracing lesbianism, homosexuality, saying there's a right. He doesn't love Tammy Bruce. He hates Tammy Bruce because by going along with what she said and embracing and promoting her lifestyle, he just damned her soul. Oh, but that's just a biblical thing. You're being a bigot. You're being critical. You're being judgmental. Who are you to say? I didn't say it. God said it. What it tells me when I view it, when I look at it, what it tells me, the most dangerous thing to being a real Christian today is that this whole world is forming an alliance against true Christianity. There may not be a nuclear bomb. The Supreme Court may win and overturn Roe versus Wade and get rid of the Affordable Care Act and insurance. There may be no blood in the sand in the Middle East, but we have these phones and we promote lifestyles that God said anybody that does what they did in Sodom and Gomorrah will receive the same reward. So in other words, more deception hits the nation. We won the Supreme Court. We won the presidency. We won the House. We won the Senate. We won. But they're all saying, Fox News is there, everybody's, support the abomination in our free democracy. If you're a Christian more than a patriot, your stomach would turn in horror, because that just means it's coming in more and more and more, and the pressure to be a true Christian, the pressure to stand in the gap, the pressure to be salt and be light in a society where we don't want your salt. We don't want your light. You shut your mouth or you go along with the program. If you come against it, you become an enemy of the state. We don't want that. So the pressure to be a real Christian because of a world system controlled by a beast is forcing the narrative, is more dangerous than World War III. Because so many Christians have already capitulated to the darkness. They have become tolerant, they have become silent, or they have promoted what God calls evil in the name of democracy, in the name of love, but not the agape love of God. The agape love of God would have been for Tucker Carlson last night on his program to say, that is an abomination. I'm so sad that you are a lesbian woman. But I have to believe he already knew that. And he allowed that because she was an intelligent Republican. Therefore, we're showing you that you could be an intelligent Republican and be a lesbian, and there's no problem with it. Mm-mm. Deception, deception, deception. Believe I'm a bigot. I don't believe I'm judgmental. I'm not condemning anybody to hell. I know by the word of God, those actions will send her to hell. I'm not making the decision. God has already spoken. I won't promote the lifestyle of homosexuality, lesbianism, pedophiles, pornography, proud, arrogant, any of it. No, we're not going to promote it. If we see anything in ourselves, we rebuke ourselves. We confess, we get cleaned up before the Lord. But to be silent, now your news media, your lamb-like Republican moral news media that looks so good, show their true colors. And this is terrifying. The only people that are spared from the destruction in Ezekiel chapter 9 and in Revelation chapter 7 are the people who sigh and cry for the abominations that are committed in the land. Do you sigh? I have to be honest with you. I'm not touting my own horn here. I'm just saying I sighed last night when I saw that. When I saw Tucker Carlson do what he did and that woman say what she said, the sigh went deep. It went really deep. Because I thought maybe there was an element within our society that was promoting this moral righteousness, and then to see that decay is in their thinking, that rot is in their thinking. And I believe this is going to happen more and more and more, the encroachment. And I believe Christians are going to start throwing away their faith. They may call themselves Christians, but they're not going to speak up. They're not going to stand out. They're not going to go to the rooftop. They're not going to shout out, because the world will hate them for that. But didn't Jesus say the world will hate you for my name's sake? There are people that say they have the name, but they don't stand up. They don't shout out. They don't tell anybody anything that's wrong. They're afraid of saying anything because they're going to go to jail, or they're going to be killed, or they're going to be hurt, or they're going to be rejected. And you kind of got the feeling that Tucker's been under a lot of pressure lately, hasn't he? But now by going in this direction, he's not going to hit by the homosexual community anymore. They're not going to hit him. So the compromise has begun. And it's coming for you. And it's coming for me. We should hope to God that we're ready to go into the wilderness, that this thing will collapse. Because if it doesn't collapse, the greater danger of God's people falling away, not because of just the persecution. We've talked about why being hated and all these things would cause people to fall away. But the other side of that coin is people falling away because just the simple pressure of the world saying you can't say anything. They don't even know that they're not Christians anymore. They don't even know, but they don't have any salt left. And the world is trampling because it has no savor. They don't have any light to expose it because they've shut their mouths. So they are Christian in name only. And this is dangerous for a Christian to live in this new world order. The United States of America. This is a crisis. It would be better, in my view of things, to see Bible prophecy fulfilled, to see everything it says to happen, and to get into the wilderness, to go through the tribulation, to stand in the gap, to endure to the end, to test our Christianity as to whether or not we're truly going and prepared to stand. Probably not one of us could stand up and say, I'm ready. I think we may think we're ready, but we thought we were ready to go out on the road waiting for someone to make that call. Hey, Pastor Vincent Patricia, we know you have the RV. We know your vision is to start home churches because you know that there's going to be a lights out scenario someday. You believe that God told you that. We want to hear the message. We've been listening to you. We believe you have a solid message. So here, come on over to our part of the country and we'll gather some people. We'll start a Bible study. So we thought we were ready. We're waiting for the call, but we went out on a simple 4-day anniversary preparation for the maiden voyage and saw how unready we really were. We didn't even have scissors in that RV. We didn't have matches. There were things we had not prepared the RV for the voyage to go. How much more in our own homes? How unprepared are we emotionally, mentally, spiritually, when people start acting up and become more violent? If we're in an area where that could happen, how prepared are we? How tuned into the Holy Spirit to hear his voice say, this is the way, walk ye in it. Kevin Hauger says, the Pope said that the same-sex couples who are children of God like everyone else have the right to found a family and that a civil partnership law should be enacted for this. That's what the Pope said. According to what Kevin is sharing, the Pope said, let me read it again so you think, well, I didn't just hear that. Yeah, you heard it. The Pope said that the same-sex couples who are children of God, like everyone else, have the right to found a family and that a civil partnership law should be enacted for this. Well, I'm sure Tucker Carlson is glad that Amy Barrett won the bench. Which way will she rule in these issues? They legalized homosexual unions in our country in 2015. Will she shoot it down? Will they knock it down? Kim Boiling says there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Kevin says many times destruction comes from within. Sam Sohorda, God bless you, dear brother, abundantly. Sam, thank you for the blessing. Never met you before. Glad you're with us today. Wendy Bredesen. Hello, Wendy. God bless you. And thanks for tuning in as well. I'm going to start going through some of the comments that are going on. I'll take it from the top here. We got past the happy birthday wishes. Carmen, you had so many happy birthday wishes. It's amazing. Kathy Bruns even said, Carmen, happy birthday. You really are a special person to many people. Have a fun day. What a blessing from Kathy Bruns. Kevin said that was good prepper stuff. I agree. It was good prepper stuff that we just read about. Samuel Grimes, again, happy birthday, Carmen, from the Grimes. Praise the Lord. Another blessing. Now, Jim Baltimore, with the unrest of the election and the flu season coming and the second wave at the end of December, mid-January, things will be hard to find. Each person needs 1 to 2 gallons of water a day, food, 2,000 calories per person. Think about warmth, hygiene, meds, protection, communication, power production, etc. It takes time to prep. It certainly does. It certainly does. Thank you, Jim, for sharing that information. Cindy is back from California saying good morning to us. Jim said again, welcome home, by the way, Cindy. God bless you. Looking forward to our Bible study tonight and seeing you. Trust everything went well in California with your mom. Jim says, write things on a list when you used to know you are replacing things. It's a good thing to do. Kim Boiling says about phones, how about that COVID tracker that they put on everyone's phones? I disabled mine. Did you have a COVID tracker on your phone? Did you even know you had one? Remember, Social Dilemma. Make sure to watch it if you can. So these are great comments, and we appreciate every single one of them. We want to open the telephone lines up. It's 10:06 where I'm at right now. If you have a question or a comment, you want to share something live on the air on this 27th day of October, the number to call is 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. I'm going to put the number on the screen. And what you do when you call that number, 818-369-0326, is when you get into the broadcast, make sure to press 1 on your dial pad, and I will bring you into the conversation. And we've got a good 25 minutes or so we could talk. And if you have something you'd like to share with our listeners, we welcome you to do so. Again, the number is on the screen, 818-369-0326. I'll be waiting for your call. I'll be waiting for your call. So we have been doing this for a while, haven't we, on Facebook and YouTube and OmegaRadio.org, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have an internet radio station. If you weren't aware of that, you could tune into OmegaRadio.org and listen to all the different people we have on that radio station. It plays 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We broadcast live every morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And we are now on KNEO, which is an app, K-N as in Nancy, E as in Echo, O, K-N-E-O, 91.7, 91.7 FM. You could get that app if you'd like to tune in there. Mark Taylor is a friend of ours. He owns that radio station. He's been in radio for 30-some-odd years, and we are now broadcasting on his FM radio station in Missouri from 11 a.m. to 12. And what I'd like to ask you as we come to the end of the month, would you consider giving a donation to this ministry? And one of the ways that you can do that is by going to our website, and I'll put that on there right now. That was a Feast of Tabernacle offering, but you could go to the website at nwmglobal.org. I'm just waiting for your calls. I'm just waiting for someone that heard the broadcast today that has something they'd like to add to, talk about. Maybe you had a dream, maybe you had a vision, a prophetic word from the Lord, a word of knowledge. Maybe you have a scripture that you want to share. You know, we love opening up the pulpit to the body of Christ. In the interim, while I'm waiting for your call, 818-369-0326, and you press 1 on the dial pad, there's a on the screen NWM Global, N for new, W for wine, M for ministry, NWM Global .org, and you could go to the donations tab and you can give. Also, if you're on your cell phone, you could text 410-88-OMEGA. Just go to your text and text in 410-88-OMEGA, and then when they open up the screen to you, you could type in the word give, and it'll take you to the donations tab. I'm always thankful for those of you that are remembering our ministry, considering it, And thank you for your donations. It is a blessing. We receive it gracefully and thankfully. And we ask the Lord to bless you mightily, spirit, soul, and body. Okay. So again, you could text us if you have a cell phone, 410-88-OMEGA, all together, 410-88-OMEGA, and then type in the word give. All right. So we're waiting for your call. You're awfully quiet out there. I got a couple more comments coming in. Let's take a look at what they are. G. Lawrence Gala is saying, aside from what may happen next week, it is wisdom to prepare as devastation may just hit your home, like job loss. I was laid off in 2019 and still looking. Wow. I didn't know that, Gala. And Kim said, me too. So we have sisters out there who lost their jobs. They're still looking for work. They're probably living in areas where there are so much or so many people that the competition is pretty intense to get the job. Maybe. I want you to know right here in Northwest Arkansas, there's jobs everywhere. Just a little birdie tweeting. Jobs everywhere in Northwest Arkansas. It's a pretty cool place to live, in my opinion. All right. No callers today. Well, that's okay. I wanted to read this passage of scripture to you anyways, because we're talking about running a race. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, Paul the Apostle wrote these words. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore, Paul said, so run, not as uncertainly. I don't just run. So fight I, not as one that beats the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Powerful information from the Apostle Paul. Powerful information from the Apostle Paul. Run your race. You know, I believe that everybody runs, one gets the prize, but each one of us should run to win the prize. And sometimes I believe what God is saying is run your race and finish it. Finish. I believe the crown goes to those who finish. And remember, Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. Our race is a race of faith. We run in faith. We keep the faith. And this is how we're going to endure. In 1 Peter, Peter spoke to his audience in his day, and he said, listen, your faith is more valuable than gold and silver, though it be tried in the fire, because it's only through the fiery trials that faith is produced, the golden kind of faith, the faith that causes one to endure to the end. Right now, balance. He said, everybody has to be temperate. So I like temperance. I like balance. And as much as we have talked about the things that are going on in the world, we have to remember that we have been born again and translated into the spiritual kingdom of Christ. And that while we're running our race in faith, that we are always remembering to set our mind on things above, not on things on the earth. You say, well, we're talking about all these things on the earth. Yeah, so we're not going to be ignorant. Jesus was very upset with his generation because they were ignorant about the signs of the times. We're not going to be ignorant. However, our life, our reality, our existence is not to be caught up into that. We warn against those things so that we could repent and keep going in the direction of the kingdom and live out of the spiritual power of the kingdom of God, where God meets all of our needs according to his riches and glory, that we seek him first in his righteousness and all the things that we need are added to us. He literally gives us what we need because he directs our path. He opens doors of opportunity. He promotes where there needs to be promotion. I'm telling you, God is good, and he will guide you and direct you through this season if you'll allow him to. Don't get bored. Don't get lazy. Stir, activate, run your race. You're not an observer. You're not sitting in the cheering crowd section. The runner. You're the runner. Run your race. Got a call coming in. Area code 903. Let's take that call this morning. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Pastor. Watching this social media, social dilemma.
Yeah.
I'm so concerned about our young people. All of that social media, with what they're all being bushwhacked and dumbed down and trained. I just feel so for all the young people, all and our younger people that just go along with all the things that the social media promote and just kind of ignore it and shut down. But I'm very, very, very concerned about our younger generation.
Yeah, very powerful that they're being so addicted. And in this show, as you heard, they talk about the suicide rate that went up exponentially since the advent of the social media, the cell phones and all of these things, the depression, the addiction, the need to. It's very real fact. It's scientific fact, and it's being shown to be very, very unhealthy. And it's not just for the kids, it's for others as well, although maybe elders know how to use this more than, you know, you just use it as a tool to get things done. But I admire your concern for the younger generation. Absolutely.
And I just said today I have anchor in Jesus Christ. Oh, that is my desire. Everybody come Amen. To know Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Amen. Amen, Elder George. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, and thank you for sharing your concern with us. We appreciate that. We'll talk to you again.
Amen.
All right, that's our Elder George just calling in. He had a phone call going on in the background. Thank you, George, for that comment. I was noticing Adam Lindquist is saying Dana Coverstone saw the finger pointing to October 31st. He also said that he saw $100 bills burning down to a third in October, maybe the next event. We don't know, Adam, it may be. We're just days away now, 4 days away from October 31st, the haunting, my God. Hey, waiting for your call, the number to call, 818-369-0326. We'd love to hear your voice. Remember, the voice of many waters. We're a community of believers. We're traveling together through this time. We love balance. We have not changed the message. Let me just say it that way. And we're not changing the message at this moment. We're not changing the message. Something, a card to be played, something that seems impossible. We're just going to keep on telling God's people, come out of her, my people. Be careful. Walk carefully as the days are evil. We have that admonition. Don't be caught off guard when they say peace and safety. Watch. There's been enough dreams, prophetic words to be able to move along with them so that as you go, as you live the abundant life that Christ has given you, as you go, you keep these things balanced. You do what they call, what we're called to do. So that's kind of where we're at right now. I've got 1018 right now, 1018. And maybe I'll just kind of whet the appetite for something I'm thinking about. Does anybody know out there? I've been doing some study on what the Jewish people call the Tanakh. And you know what the word Tanakh means when through Jewish, Judaism, Hebrew, when they talk about the Tanakh, they've taken particular consonants and put Tanakh in this thing. And what it refers to, the Tanakh, is what Christians call the Old Testament. The Tanakh refers to the Pentateuch, which they call the Torah, and then it's the prophecy, the prophets. So you have the Pentateuch, the prophets, and the writings being Job and Esther and Ruth and Psalms and Ecclesiastes and Proverbs. So this is what they call the Tanakh. But the word Tanakh does not exist in the Bible. It's a Jewish word that they said the Pentateuch, the first five books, Torah. Then the prophets, and then the writings. Now, all those things do exist. There's no doubt about it. But I think the danger with that particular concept is it's kind of like the rapture. The rapture is a word that we use all the time in Christianity, and it gives us a certain idea, but the word is not in the book. The word rapture does not exist in Scripture. Would we agree to that? So when someone says the rapture, an idea goes off in their head. When someone says Tanakh, an idea goes off, and it does encompass the 39 books of the Old Testament. The problem that we have to be careful with is to think that somehow Torah stops in the Pentateuch. The word Torah is where the word law is used. Where they talk about law, they talk about Torah. And Torah means instruction. And according to the idea of Tanakh, if we think that Torah ended in the Pentateuch in Deuteronomy, went from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, if we think that that's where Torah ended, we become mistaken. So when people hear Tanakh, they have a Jewish idea and a thinking that, oh, Torah ended in the Pentateuch. Now we have the prophets and we have the writings. Ladies and gentlemen, Torah is in existence today. Yeshua was the Torah made flesh. Torah was in his teachings. It was instruction. Torah was in the letters of the apostles when they gave us instructions on how to live. That is all Torah. It's not just the prophets and the writings. The entire New Testament is Torah. It's instruction. So I only say that. I'm cool with Tanakh. I think it's a really cool word. But for people that view Tanakh as the first five books known as the Pentateuch and Torah, and then it ended, there was no more Torah after Deuteronomy, that would be wrong. That would be misinformation. There was much more Torah in the scriptures after the book of Deuteronomy, leading all the way up to Yeshua. And what's interesting, in the first five books of the Bible, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. Well, you go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So if there was beginning of Torah in Genesis, we see Torah continue in the Gospel of John with Yeshua speaking instruction, giving Torah. A higher Torah, okay? Torah is not the Mosaic law. We have to be very careful about that. I'm going to talk about this at some point because I think it's awesome, number one, to have a great conversation about it. But I think there's been a little bit of confusion in people's minds about these issues, and I'd like to just allow the Holy Spirit to talk to us. And I'll leave you with this idea. I'll leave you with this thought. Number one, the Mosaic law. Let's just talk about the Mosaic law. We know that God made a covenant with Abraham, right? Moses didn't even exist in that day. The covenant that God made with Abraham, don't forget that. And then the children of Israel go into 430 years of bondage in Egypt. When they come out, the covenant that God made with Abraham was intended for them, but it wasn't time. That covenant with Abraham is suspended. God gives the Mosaic law to Israel. He does not give it to the Egyptians. He does not give it to the Babylonians. He does not give it to the Assyrians. God gave the Mosaic law to the Jewish people, the Hebrews, the Israelites, and brought them into the wilderness to Mount Sinai and gave them the law. Now we're told specifically that God gave them the law, the Mosaic law, because of the transgressions and until the seed would come. We now know in Galatians chapter 3 that the seed that God was telling Abraham about was Yeshua, the Christ. So here you have a covenant with Abraham. Then you have Israel becoming a nation of slaves in Egypt over 430 years. They come out, they go into the wilderness, and God gives them the law, the Mosaic law. But it was only intended to keep them until the seed would come. That's very clear in the New Covenant. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It's in Galatians chapter 3 and 4. It's everywhere. Acts chapter 15. You don't have to mess with it. It's clear that the Mosaic law was given to the Jewish people for a period of time until the Messiah would come. And when the Messiah came, the purpose was for him to wrap up, to fulfill every jot and tittle, pay the price for the sins of Israel under that Old Testament, that covenant, and then to reunite the children of Israel to the Abrahamic covenant. And then the Gentiles were to come, that came into Christ by faith, they were joined, Galatians 3, to the Abrahamic covenant. So everything came back to the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic law, the Moses covenant was fulfilled, and it was done away, it was abolished, it was a ministry of condemnation, a ministry of death, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, a lot of people can't handle this, and what was happening is that these Gentile believers were coming to faith in Christ, and the Jewish people that were Christians, believers as well, were saying, well, you got to come back under the law of Moses. And that's where all the debate came in. Why, they asked, would you bring the Gentiles under the yoke that we and our fathers couldn't even bear? Yeshua filled the entire Mosaic covenant. Everything in the law of Moses was fulfilled. He even paid the price for the sins, for the curses that were on the nation because they broke that law. But when he said it is finished, he took it away. It was finished. And he brought a new covenant, which was really the covenant that God made with Abraham. Now it's ratified in the blood of Jesus Christ. So we have a better covenant with better promises. So my idea here in my thinking, and I'm up to the challenge, I want to talk about it, is when people say Tanakh, it sounds great, but don't say there's no more Torah. Torah always exists. The New Testament church has Torah in the New Covenant, instructions on how to live. And we, like Abraham in Genesis 26, are to obey the voice, obey the commandments, obey the law, which is the word Torah in Genesis 26, 4 and 5. So obedience to Torah. The Christian church must obey the instructions of the New Covenant. The Abrahamic covenant and the Torah that Yeshua spoke himself and the apostles by the Spirit in all of the letters, there's instruction. Romans chapter 6 is one of the keys to understanding all of these things. A lot of people thought, well, we're not under the law. Let's go out and live a licentious life. That's crazy. That's not even close to being true. But we have to wrap our minds around something about the law of Moses. We have to understand the law of Moses has been completely utilized. It was made useful for a moment. It was God's law, holy and good. It was used until the seed should come as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And then after Christ has come, we no longer under a schoolmaster. The scriptures are very clear. There's so much liberty. There's so much freedom in understanding the Mosaic law with the blessings and the curses is not what we are living under any longer. We're living under Torah, instruction, commandments, Yeshua said, and in Galatians, Paul wrote, the fulfillment of all the law is to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we cannot get into a good discussion in 5 minutes of bringing this out, but I do want people to remember, Tanakh is not in the Bible. Neither is the rapture. And yet people get ideas about these things and they put it compartmentalizing and suggest that, well, when we say the law is gone, Torah, that's blasphemy. No, 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 no. We got to put things in their proper perspective. We'll talk about that again. And I like what Kim said. It's all Torah. Torah from the beginning, Torah to the very end. And you and I are called to that Torah. Read the Torah. Read Yeshua, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read all the letters because you'll find instruction in them for life. You'll find instruction for life. All right, that's it for me. I'm getting ready to go right now. It's 10:21. Right now on Omega Radio, there's a roundtable discussion with Patricia Joy Xavier. You may want to cruise on over there. We'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing, with Daniel Seckham, and we'll start and continue our conversation. Till we meet again, this is Pastor Vince. God bless. Remember, OmegaRadio.org is happening right now. We'll see you tomorrow. Shalom.